This episode of Voices of the Elephant is sponsored by DayCamp for Developers. Listen for a special offer at the end of this podcast. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, we're here today with Sean Coates. Sean, we've known each other 5-6 years now, and it's kind of hard to believe that it's been that long.
Yeah, at least that long.
Yeah. And you're now working with a startup called Gimmebar, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Excellent. I caught your presentation at the PHP Community Conference, which was a great conference. I had a lot of fun there. And in fact, we'll talk about that in just a second.
Sure.
Let's dive right into it. PHP, specifically the way that PHP is developed, is undergoing some changes. And you are on the internals list and you're active in the core community. Can you talk to us about what you see that is happening to the process of how PHP developed? And is this a positive or a negative?
Well, first, I'm not nearly as involved as I used to be. And I guess part of that is due to... Part of that is due to the question you asked, actually. There's just a lot of noise. My focus is more on the specific work that we're doing and not so much on PHP like it used to be, especially when I was the editor of PHP Architect. I really had to keep up with what was going on there. Mm-hmm. But you talk about the change in the way that PHP is being developed. And by that, I guess you mean with the way the RFC system is set up now and... how it's kind of more structured than it used to be. And I really don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. I think that we're voting a lot more than we should be right now. if you look in the internals list, everything requires a vote now. And I guess that was kind of people voted on whether or not they should vote. the consensus seems to be that people want to do that. That's not really how PHP grew to be what PHP is. And I'm not sure that's a good thing. And I'm not 100% sure that's a bad thing, but I'm pretty sure that voting for every kind of little thing is not, not a good way to build kind of a happy community and a community that talks to each other well and has consensus on issues. Rasmus actually brought this up in the mailing list yesterday. He was saying, you know, a couple of years ago, someone would have just said, "Hey, I'm going to do this thing. Anyone have any problems with it?" And now it requires like a 2-week period and a vote and all kinds of stuff. I don't find it holding me back personally. I mean, I have an RFC that I haven't really paid a whole lot of attention to, mostly for time, but also kind of because it's a little bit discouraging. Mm-hmm. But for things like the stuff that Rasmus was talking about yesterday, where someone just wanted to add some options and see if anyone had any problem with that, it seems like it's a pretty big barrier to actually getting stuff done. So I don't know. I guess time will tell. I've been thinking a lot about how PHP is developed and what I need from PHP and whether or not PHP is still meeting my needs and other people's needs. I'm kind of mixed. I really don't know.
Yeah. And you tweeted something that Rasmus said, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it right up in front of me, but I believe the sentiment was basically we need to vote on the big things, not vote on everything. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, that's pretty close to what he said. I think his main point, and I'm also paraphrasing, so if I'm wrong, then then he should say so if he ever hears this. But I think his main point was that voting is what is required when we can't reach a consensus, and
that
we should just act like humans, basically. Like, he didn't say this, but that's what I read. He should act like humans and just kind of talk things out and be happy and like come to a consensus and not be at everyone's throats all the time. And that's the way I feel about internals a lot of the time.
Interesting. thanks for your insight on that, because I know a lot of the listeners don't monitor internals or something like that. And so it's always fun to get the insight from somebody who has been there. And even if you're not active or as active as you used to be, you still have some very good things to show us. Okay. Question number two. We talked about, or I mentioned the PHP Community Conference earlier back in April. Back then, I was there, and you talked about how your project, GimmeBar, had to move from CouchDB to MongoDB. Mm-hmm. Can you give us a real quick synopsis? I don't want you to have to pull out the slides and go through the whole production, but give us a synopsis of why you made the move. And it's been a while since you made the move. Are you still confident that making the move to Mongo was the correct decision?
Okay, so there's a whole huge amount of backstory. I could probably talk for like an hour about this, but I'm not going to. basically, what it comes down to is that we chose to do a NoSQL solution for a lot of different reasons. And at the time, our main choices were CouchDB or MongoDB. And it didn't seem like MongoDB was quite ready for us at the time. And I could be wrong about that. That was in January of 2010. When we started working with the database, mm-hmm. I knew Jan Lehrhart. Basically, I often default to, if I can't choose between two technologies, then as long as I have someone who I can pull up on chat or ping on Skype or whatever, then that will often make my decision for me.
Now, just to interject, yep. Jan is one of the leaders of the CouchDB project, correct?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I'm not sure what his actual role is there right now, but he is one of the main developers behind it. I think they started with like a team of two or four or something like that. He was either one of the founders or a very, very early member of the project.
Okay.
Anyway, so we built the initial gaming bar using CouchDB. And we ran into a lot of problems with that. And some of those problems were due to the way I was doing things, for sure. But one of the main things that we ended up not being able to do with CouchDB was relationships. And that makes sense because we're using a non-relational database. And so the relational part builds those relationships. So we were having a hard time. We weren't really having such a hard time tying things like images to users, but we were having a hard time tying images to images from other users. And it seemed like we were trying to take Couch one step further than it was really designed to do, and we were. And it was just an architectural problem on our side for that part. But it really came down to many months of fighting with it and getting into all kinds of trouble where we were exhausting memory with a very small data set and that kind of stuff. And I decided, after many months of regretting or dreading having to do it, switch over to Mongo, or at least to look at it very, very heavily. And over Christmas of last year, I did that. And on New Year's Day, we started building stuff on Mongo and switched everything over. And it actually went really, really well. So to address your question, the main thing we get from Mongo and the main thing that I find that Mongo is doing much better for us than Couch ever really did is that there's no real query language built into CouchDB. It's all MapReduce. And MapReduce is extremely powerful. And it's the right way to do things if you have a large data set. And there are certain things you can't do with MapReduce based on the architecture. And the reason for that is so that you can split up your data set across many, many nodes. And so those nodes can act independently. And that's one of the fundamental things of how MapReduce works. And what I came to realize is that that is extremely powerful and it's the right way to do things when you have a large data set, but we don't have a large data set yet and we don't need to do those things. And so it was holding us back. It was really holding us back because there's no real query language. I had to write a view for anything I wanted from the database, and I had to write a reduce for anything I wanted to aggregate from the database. And that's okay until you get to a point where you can't really do what you need to do with your view or your map or your reduce, and then you need to re-architect or move data around. And I found we were moving data around a little bit too much, and there are certain things that we couldn't even really solve by moving data around. And so one of the things that Mongo gave us right out of the gate was a query language, and not the same way SQL is a query language, but
similar in that I could do things like select specific records or select specific records that match regular expressions or select specific records that match regular expressions that are also in a set of asset IDs and that sort of thing. And I could do some simple aggregation like counts, and I could do a lot of the things that web apps really need to do. And so moving over to Mongo is really, you asked if we're still happy with it, and I'm extremely happy with it. I actually could not be happier with the way it works. There are certain things with the driver that bite me from time to time, but Christina Chattereau, who works at TenGen, wrote the PHP extension for MongoDB, and it's fantastic. It's one of the best extensions I've ever worked with. It does things the way I expect things to be done. It gives me the right structures when I need them. It just works really, really well. And so to tie into our PHP application, it works really well. And infrastructurally, it works really well because it's very, very good at things like clustering. There's certain things I miss about CacheDB. Things like replication don't work the same way. So getting data from our production servers through to our staging server, for example, is a little bit different, a little bit harder, but it's not hard enough that it's not worth it for us to be using Mongo. Mm-hmm. And we really get a ton of stuff out of it. Like I said, the clustering, we have a replica set. Right now we have a two node cluster that does all of our web serving through a load balancer. And I can actually, like right now during this call, I could safely just shut down one of those boxes and everything would just fail over to the other Mongo, like completely automatically.
Wow.
Yeah, and one of our web servers went down yesterday, and I got the alert from CloudWatch on Amazon that said, hey, one of your servers went down, and our users didn't notice. And that's awesome for a team our size. Like, I am a sysadmin. we don't have a real sysadmin, and I'm sure I've done a lot of things really badly, but I love that I don't have to worry about when one of our nodes goes down.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is really cool, especially with a two-node system, for it to be that that failover protected. So that is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one other question for you. You guys at GimmeBar are like so cutting edge. You're also playing with Node.js, and Node is getting a lot of buzz over the past year. I know Travis Swicegood is talking about it, and we had David Collier at Tech. He was talking about it and things like that. So can you talk to us a little bit about your experience with it? How are you using it? If you're using it in production, obviously you think it's production ready, but you know, what's your experience with it?
So we're not using Node in the way that Node is really kind of designed to be used. That's how cutting edge we are. we're not currently serving any web requests through Node. We're using it in a couple capacities. One of those capacities is to help us do deployments. So we do our JavaScript compilation through like a Node script and that kind of stuff. But we use Node a lot as a bridge technology between our front end guys and our back end guys. And by guys, I mean very, very small sets. I think like we have, I guess, two guys who I would consider front end guys and two guys I would consider back end guys right now. And one of the really interesting things about Node is that, it uses JavaScript. It's a JavaScript kind of framework or JavaScript application layer. And the really interesting thing about that for us is that everyone on our team who does any coding writes JavaScript or understands at least some JavaScript. Mm-hmm. So we have front end guys who write HTML, CSS, JavaScript. One of the guys writes Erlang and Ruby, and Evan's super smart and he does whatever you ask him to do, basically. As far as it comes to figuring out new languages or technologies. That's not to say the other guys aren't smart. he never really did much PHP before working on GimmeBar. I'm also a little bit the same way, where I can look at stuff and generally figure it out and get my feet wet and not be completely inept when it comes to new technologies, except Erlang. one of the things that we already overlapped on was JavaScript. We built, and I guess you'll throw this in the show notes or whatever, but we built a client called WebShell that is it's a JavaScript-based HTTP consumer, and it allows us to interact with APIs, and it allows us to do a lot of debugging. And I originally wanted to build this thing in PHP, but Evan wasn't comfortable enough to do that, and I really wanted his help, and he really wanted the same thing. So we decided just to start building the thing in Node. And it's worked out really, really well for us. We also use Node in a couple other places. Like I said, we use it for deployments. We wrote an API client. Our proof of concept API client is in Node. And that's up on our GitHub for EffectiveKin. I guess you'll link that too. But one of the really interesting things about the way that that works is everything is event-based. So you don't get bogged down in waiting for the API to do stuff. And it's all based on callbacks. And it's just this really, it's this really nice system that's a little bit hard to get your head around at first. But once you do, it just makes a lot of sense. So one of the other things we do with Node is Joel Perra started a project to port the Fergie IRC bot, which I'm not sure if you've had Matthew on or Matthew Turlin.
Yes, we have. About it.
Yeah. And so we actually used Fergie pretty extensively to do things. Because our team is very distributed, we spend all day on IRC. And so we had Fergie do things like simple things like look up tweets and that kind of stuff that we all wanted to talk about, but it also interacts with our API and does things like pull up asset information that says, hey, this asset is owned by this person, here's the URL for it, and that kind of stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, and so we were building on Fergie, and it got bogged down quite a bit if it was waiting for the API, or if it was waiting for Twitter, which is down about 40% of the time, or I just made up that number, but no one will call me on it. Maybe the Twitter guys would. Anyway, with PHP, it really, without using something like libevent or forking and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, it just gets bogged down waiting for this request, and it was slow. And it was kind of hard for us to build on. So Joel started porting the thing over to Node, and we called it Nerdy. And I guess I sent you the link for that one too. But basically, the infrastructure that we have for that, I find, is much more appropriate for what we're doing with IRC, where we have events and the events have callbacks, and everything just kind of works really well. And so I guess I've kind of barely scratched the surface about Node. And again, I could talk about that for a long time. But as far as using it in production, we don't. But it's really, really helpful as a support tool and a really good framework for doing JavaScript and event-based stuff. And it has all kinds of tools built into it, like file system access and that kind of stuff. So yes, it's nice.
Excellent. Thank you for that insight. I know that's Node is something that it's on my list of things I need to start playing with, because it offers some options that PHP doesn't. And I'm not sure I'm ready to say I'm going to swap over, but I think there's room in the world or the web world for both tools.
Yeah, I think so too. I'm not obviously not ready to swap over yet either. One of the things that I did want to mention, and I kind of touched on this in saying that everyone overlaps, is that I've really come to believe in the last 18 months, but really especially the last year, that every PHP developer should have, or at least be on the road to gaining a good understanding of JavaScript and to build up those JavaScript chops. And I find especially backend developers kind of put that aside, and they don't want to have to worry about JavaScript. And I was like that for a long time. I really hated JavaScript for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I find it increasingly important that PHP developers have some understanding of JavaScript and have an understanding of how things like events work in JavaScript and callbacks and scope and that kind of stuff, because I find there's more and more overlap and there's more and more stuff being pushed out to the client. And it's really important for us to figure those things out and have some sort of background with that.
I agree. And one of the things I'll have to say is I was using JavaScript back in the IE6 Netscape 4 days. And it was like pulling teeth. And so I got out of it. And as I get back into it and start looking around, I'm just amazed at how much progress has been made. And I mean, using JavaScript these days, especially if you're using one of the libraries like jQuery, it's painless compared to what we used to have to do. So
yeah, those libraries kind of help solve a lot of the painful things that we had to do back in the day, where we'd have to check for the browser and we'd have to make sure that we were writing specifically for a specific version of browser. And those frameworks do a really good job of abstracting that in a way that is not really so much an abstraction, but just kind of the way you would do things. And it makes it really easy. But I'm kind of talking like on a bigger layer too, where we really use JavaScript a lot, and not just in the client, not just like in the browser, but also like everywhere, because we all speak it, and it's kind of like a common language that we can all get together on.
I agree, and we've seen this coming for about 6 months now. But yeah, JavaScript is becoming the common language that no matter what technology you work on, if you're working on the web, you probably know JavaScript. So we can use it to talk to other developers, or not talk to others, but we can use it to express ideas to other developers. Somebody can write something, we can read it, that kind of stuff. So it is becoming the common thread.
Yep, I agree.
Okay, before I let you go, what is your local user group and what's the URL?
Well, I am very, very lax in attending my local user group, unfortunately. But it's PHP Quebec, and it's based in Montreal, and it's just phpquebec.org. I haven't been there in a very long time. I've actually been to the JavaScript user group more recently than I've been to the PHP one. But I see those guys at Kung Fu, and I keep up with some of them a little bit. So
that's good.
That's that.
Okay. Sean, I want to say thank you for your time today, and seriously, thank you for everything that you do for PHP.
Well, thanks for having me on, Cal. It was fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Voices of the Elephant. This podcast is copyright 2011 EICC Incorporated, and all rights are reserved. For more information on the podcast, and to nominate someone to be interviewed, visit the website voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT. Day Camp for Developers is a one-day, technology-agnostic online training camp for web developers. We cover the topics that you won't find at any other conference at a price that every developer can afford. Visit our website today, daycamp4developers.com, and reserve your seat for the next class. As a listener of Voices of the Elephant, use the discount code VOTE to save $10 off your ticket. Day Camp for Developers. Invest a day in your career.